Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation. Good to hang out with you today. This is my twin brother, as you can see, Roger Turner pulling off the shirt. I think he looks better than me, which makes me sad that there should be some law against that. But anyway, Roger is one of our Elite Graduates Next Level members, but most importantly, a guy that is pretty much kicking butt and taking names. So I just wanted to share his story with you guys because he's great. How about that? God, we got a lot of background noise where we're at, but we'll make it work. So Roger, before I tell the world how great you are, why don't you tell the world how great you are and why we should listen to every blessed thing that comes out of your mouth.
That's what you're here for, Mike. That's how I started. I've been cleaning commercially for 7 years and I had subcontractors the whole time cleaning. And I just, I remember talking to you about this and ever so clear. And I remember you knew exactly what my situation was. You know, and I thought, oh, no, I'm unique than everybody else. I've got subcontractors I work with. And you go, no, you're not. This is what's happening, right? So for 7 years, I've been growing my business and using subcontractors. So I get the business, they clean it, and then it's pretty easy. I still have a full-time job. And it was just something that gave me a little extra income. So, but as it grew, I found that I had more expenses, more time, more, you know, to be able to manage this. And you described that perfectly I remember on that first phone call. And you said, let me see, your 15% is shrinking because you got all these extra expenses that you didn't have before. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, how'd you know this? It's a miracle. So you're like, you got to get rid of your subcontractors, you know, new AB5 law coming into California this year. You got to get rid of that. I listened, I got rid of been moving away from my subcontractors and employees, which is something I'm like, man, that's something I never wanted to do. But it's worked out really well. I followed a lot of your direction on how to hire, you know, hire based on core values, not on if I like the person or not, or their experience and got a great group of people, almost away from all my subcontractors. So I found that and it was perfect timing during all the COVID stuff that's been going on the past, you know, few months. So as business went down, I found that my gross profit went up, right? Because I was paying 85% of my of all the revenue to my subcontractors, and now it's down to about I'm right at about 46-48% gross profit. So it's worked out well.
I'm typing so many notes because I have like 1,000 questions. So first of all, I just want you guys to catch something before we move on. What Roger said, and if I put words in your mouth or mischaracterize what you're saying, Roger, please let me and the world know. But what I heard you say is when I talked to Mike, and this is probably why the reason you got on the phone with me is a sales copy. You're like, he totally understood me. Let me translate that into what I'm constantly coaching you guys to do so you see what this looks like in real life. I understood Roger's pain as well or better than he understood it, and certainly better than anyone else he'd talked to. So hopefully you guys felt from the customer side what that feels like. Is they go, oh my gosh, this guy gets me. He knew me. He didn't say, Mike told me how smart he was, how good of a marketer was, how many people he helped, how much money he had in his bank account, how his employees loved him or his mom. There was zero about how great Mike was. It was all about Roger and his pain. And he just went, this guy gets me. So I didn't at any point have to sell myself on, I'm so smart. As soon as he went, this guy gets me, he goes, he must be a genius, right? That's how our customers work. So you guys, when you were tempted in our sales copy and our sales conversations to tell our prospects and customers how smart we are, how great we are, how good we are cleaning, how we're the best, that's a great way to get them to do this. But as soon as you go, oh, you probably feel like this. How does that make you feel? How does that work out? How does that make your life How's that impact your life? Is it maybe impacting your life like this? They go, holy crap, this guy's a genius, or holy crap, this guy's a genius. Any thoughts or feedback on that before we move into the meat of it? I just don't want Cleaning Nation to miss that piece.
Yes, I've had a business coach for a couple years now, and we keep talking about the same thing. I need systems. I need help. I need systems. How do I do this? How do I develop the systems? I've been good at sales, but how do I do all the back end stuff? I don't have a clue on how to do this. And a friend said something that I'm like, oh, those, oh my gosh, grow my cleaning company videos I've watched before, you know? So I went right back on the internet. I started looking at, you know, your videos, and it's like, oh my gosh, you guys actually have a program around this. And so I called, I talked to Lou, and same
Lou.
Thing, just what you said, he knew exactly what my pain was.
So,
you know, it was perfect. I signed up then and there, and it's, and I'm like, man, I don't want to drop the cash and do this, but oh my gosh, it's been so worth it.
So I love that, just because anytime we, you know, we drink our own Kool-Aid, and anytime like stuff's working, I want you guys to see it to give you the confidence to do it. So let me catch up on the chat real quick, and then we'll get right back into the 1,000 questions I have for Roger. Denise says, hey, good to see you. Karen says, you need to be a referral agency in CA. So what I want you guys is a listenership to listen to, this isn't about the legal structure of employees versus 1099. That would be missing or what the legal structure is in California and their new laws versus how it works in Arizona. None of that is what we're trying to do here. Roger had a transformational experience which went from a business, and a, please, if I put words or miss, don't let me get away with, like, correct me, but a business that was growing on the top line and staying the same or shrinking, I'm guessing, on the bottom line, and sucking more time and effort, but not making any more money, to holy crap, I've got more money to pay people. Is that overstated or misstated?
Kind of. I was making more money, but the percentages were going down.
Okay.
Instead of me getting a true 15%, it was shrinking down to 10% because I just had more overhead.
Okay. So you were making more dollars, but less percent. So had that kept going, at some point we would have capped and gone the other way because the percentage kept shrinking. And
more revenue, but less gross profit, less gross profit and less actual profit.
Got it. So we moved from more revenue, less gross and net profit to more revenue. Continue more revenue, more net profit, and more gross profit as a percentage and as a dollars.
Yeah. And when this COVID hit, my overall revenue dropped considerably, but my gross profit still went up.
Okay. Which is
through this profit. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're right. They're geniuses. You know, I'm like, I was thinking about it all wrong. So
that's what he just said is exactly it. But thank you. I'm circling what I'm trying to say. Roger nailed it. It's not, I was a referral agency or I wasn't a referral agency or this was legal. And obviously we want to be legal, but that's not the point of this. I'm sure Roger was following the law. It was more of, I was thinking about it all wrong. So I don't want people to be writing down, okay, if I have 1099 contractors, I need to set up a referral agency or hire them as W-2. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. That's not the point of this. The point of this is I was thinking about it all wrong. That's what I want to unpack for Roger. And like, okay. And it's always that, guys and gals. So, you know, Roger's like, oh, they've got systems and processes. I want to use that. As long as Roger and you, Cleaning Nation, are thinking about your business wrong, the systems and processes will not work. As soon as we get Roger, everybody, Mike, Campion, thinking about our business right, then the systems and processes are massive value. So I just want to say that. Shannon McLean, that's her real name, by the way, Mrs. McLean, in Cleaning Nation says, hey, Brenda, Marceletta, Diane, Jessica Agate, and Cecilia Espinoza says, you can't clarify this point enough, Mike. Thank you, Cecilia. I feel sometimes I'm screaming into the wind, but when I'm screaming, it's because it's important. All right. Back to Roger and his amazing story. So first of all, hopefully you guys got, he said, someone understood my pain. That's why I bought. So if you guys are ever going to sell an employee, a customer, a vendor, and working with you, if you talk about how great you are, you'll get some set of results. And if you talk about their pain and understanding and they go, holy crap, this guy gets me, you'll get a completely different, better set of results. The second thing I want you to hear Roger saying is he was coachable. It drives me nuts. The people that are struggling and dying constantly feel like, I don't need coaching, I have this. The people that are successful and doing well always already have coaches and are ready for more coaching if they're not getting the results that they want. So I want you guys to get that. And again, obviously I own a coaching company, so I'm biased. This has nothing to do with me. I don't care if it's me, somebody else. If you are not coachable and you know everything, you will get that set of results. If you say, I'm constantly wanting more. It's so funny. I did my alumni call for everyone that graduates our program. I just once a month do a call just to check in. Funny thing is, you'd think the people that were out of the program and didn't have any access to me would fill the call. And the people that were in our graduate coaching stuff like the Next Level Millionaire wouldn't be there because they already have access to me. It's the opposite. The people that already have access and already kind of don't need to be on that call because it's a little lower level call show up. The people that desperately need to be on the call, they're nowhere to be found. It is, as a coach, I found the people that need the most coaching are the least interested, and the people that need the least coaching are the most interested. And it's kind of like, that's why, right? And just so you guys know, I still spend, as of this recording, $50,000 a year on my own personal education, and I don't go to college. This is from other people that are getting the results that I want or helping other people get better results, like so I can be a better coach for you guys. All right. You said you were still working a job when you started all this. Are you still working a full-time job, or are you full-time
yes.
cleaning?
Okay. Yeah. No, still working a full-time job.
How many employees or team members do you have while you're still on your full-time job?
Well, January I had zero, and now I'm up to seven and actively hiring.
Beautiful. That's a big boy result for it. I got to be honest with you guys, gals. We've helped many a person transition from full-time job to full-time owner. And they find the growth really skyrockets once they go full-time in their business. So for you to be able to get seven employees and we don't have to get into revenue, but I know you're doing the revenue that you're at and the employee level that you're at for having a full-time job is that's big boy, big girl revenue. So is your goal to continue having both, or I'm just interested?
Oh no, I want to leave the full-time job.
Beautiful.
How
far?
And with full-time with the business. So
yeah, I love it. Are we halfway there? 80% of the way there? 2% of the way there? What do we need?
We're at least 50% of the way there.
All right. Beautiful. So tell me more. The big thing that you said that everybody should have written down and be furious at me if I don't follow up on this is he said, I went from 80% cost of goods sold, meaning if I charge someone a dollar, it cost me
85.
Holy crap. it's a good thing you didn't get on the call with me. You got Lou. He would have been nice. I would have been screaming and ran. I would have been losing my mind at 80%. You'd have been like, he doesn't get me at all. He's just mean. So 85%. So basically if you, whether it's a dollar, $100 or $1,000, if you got $1,000 in revenue just to do the cleaning, assuming there's no liability insurance, advertising, cell phones, uniform, whatever, all the nonsense we all understand exists in business. If that was a zero, which is not possible, we had to spend every $1,000 that came in the door, we had to spend $850 just to get the job done before we made a nickel in profit or paid a nickel in overhead, which obviously, by the way, you, Roger can't see the text, but Cecilia says, wow, he's my hero. Me too. That's why he's here. I wanted you guys to meet him. So apparently you are Cecilia's hero, Roger. I just wanted you to know that.
And hi, Cecilia.
Okay. So we went from 85%, meaning every $1,000 that came in, $850 went out the door before we paid overhead or the Turner family got a nickel, down to 45%, give or take.
So yeah, so no, so there I'm at 40. It dropped a little bit this for July billing. I don't know why, but it went from 48 to 46. That's my so I guess cost of goods sold is so it'd be 55.
Okay, so 50 to 55 depending on the month.
54, yeah.
Okay, so we'll call it 55. So we went from 85 to 55.
Yep.
So every $1,000 that came in, you made an additional $300.
Yeah. Which, now it took a little bit of I had to buy some equipment and things like that, which you know ate up the initial investment, some of that stuff that ate up some of that, but that's gone down now that I got the initial start because all those vendors are all the accounts that I took over, I had to put all the equipment, utensils, and all that stuff in there to get them started. So. And then all the fogging, the COVID fogging that I'm doing, all that stuff, I'd buy all the equipment. And, so there's some upfront costs that I had to put into that I have to manage now. But,
and without getting too deep into accounting, technically, depending on how much you spent and how much each piece was, that could be a balance sheet issue because really you bought assets that are going to depreciate. So it's not like you traded your cash for something that's worth nothing. You traded your cash for something that's worth money. And those, you still have that, you can sell them. So I don't want to get all into that, but the cash flow piece didn't grow as much, but from the P&L sheet, because I would add all that initial investment on most of it from what you've told me on my balance sheet. So the P&L, the profit available, would still be high. And even if you chose to take some of that profit, put it into the business for assets, you either gained assets or profit. Either way, awesome. So what was the big, because I love how your story was so indicative of so many of Clean Nation's story. Like, it sounds like you've been familiar with the show before because when you said someone mentioned to you, you went, oh yeah, those videos and went back. So what I heard, and please, again, if I'm twisting or not hearing what you said. I want to get it right. What I heard you say is I'd been involved with, I've been online looking for videos, and I'm sure there's other folks out there, which is great. So you'd run into two or three different whatevers. Somebody said, oh, you should listen to this podcast. And the timing was different because the content's the same, right? We've been recording this for 5 years. So whatever you'd listen to was probably available, but Roger was different, right? Or else you would have done something earlier. I'm always fascinated is what changed from the first time kind of you came in contact with our thing to when you're like, I got to do something different. I'm fascinated by that answer.
Yeah, pain. It was losing a couple of accounts. So I'd personally last year at the end of the year, customers are complaining, not cleaning right. And so I'm like, so I'm going down personally, taking care of some of it myself, doing some cleaning, managing. And then it only took 2 or 3 months later, lost the account because it went right back to, they're just not doing what they're supposed to be. Subs aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that happened over and over. And every time I'd go into an account and, look at it, and they're like, yeah, well, there's all these problems and more phone calls. I'm like, that's it. I have to do something different. This model does not work. Right. So it was losing a couple of accounts the end of last year. That's what just said. I'm doing something different. I cannot do this anymore. Got to find a way out of this.
So, gosh, if I'm cleaning, I'm always trying to kind of translate your experience or the guest experience. So, if I'm Cleaning Nation, like, here's what I don't want you to miss. And there's two things. One is when you're buying, and one's when you're selling. So when you're selling, understand that. And this is if I had one kind of marketing nugget to give that if I could just implant it in everyone's brain in the community, this would be my top three. Pain is on a spectrum and it changes day to day. So the fact that you give someone a bid today and they're not interested and they're like, oh, this, I want something cheap and I blah, 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 and you're just like, oh, not a fit. Is if it's an integrity or core values issue, like they're just the wrong person, that's probably not going to change. I'm gonna mark them off my ability to be a customer ever, like on my do not sell to list. If they're not core values match, but their pain is different. Like when Roger, first kind of experienced us or got exposed to the community, he's like, I'm okay. This model, there's nothing wrong with this model. It's okay. It's working. So had we kind of, and a lot of you guys don't have automated systems like we've got in terms of podcasts that go out, so Roger could kind of come and go as he please. If Roger and I had had a conversation, and he would have said that same thing, like, I think I'm doing okay. Everything's fine. Like, I'm not going to try and convince him of anything, but we just go, well, they didn't buy today, they're gone. The wrong answer. They didn't buy today, especially if it's on price, because what they're going to do is go to someone that's half the price, and you know as well as I do, well, that means that guy's doing it for no profit, meaning he's not going to do a good job. So this guy, we know he's going to have pain in 3 months, right? So with Roger, had we had one-to-one marketing, I known he was going to have two or three of his clients leave, and he was going to kind of, his pain was going to double. I would have reached out to him when that happened, right? So I want for you guys, when you're selling people and someone says no, as long as it's not a core values mismatch, that doesn't mean no forever. It means the pain I have now isn't high enough for me to take action. And our goal as owners is never to make people in pain. Like if I came to Roger as a coaching, or he came to me and said, hey, Mike, can you help me? I'd talk about what he wants to do. I'm like, well, I'd like to grow, but I'm pretty happy. It's no big deal. If it's not it's hard or expensive, I'd like to do something as long as I don't have to step out of my comfort zone. I'm gonna spend zero time selling him anything. My conversation would be awesome. When you're ready to do something, call me back. When you're really committed to making it work, let's talk. Until then, I have nothing. And if he's like, well, aren't you gonna sell me something? I have nothing to sell you. So first thing on the selling end, just because someone's not in pain now doesn't mean they won't be in pain later, and huge. On the buying end, Roger articulated it perfectly. He's like, I wasn't in pain, so I didn't do anything. So you guys have an option, whatever it is, right? About getting coaching or buying something or doing something or whatever. You can wait until you're in pain and go, no, I need the world to kick my teeth in for another month. Then I'll come back. Okie dokie. Then that's what you shall get. Or you can go, or why do I need to wait? Why don't I just make the changes I need to make in my life now? And I'm not even talking about coaching. I'm just talking about life. All right, perfect. So give me the big takeaways, buddy. Here, let's do two. The hardest thing I asked you to do that you did and went, okay, that worked out or it didn't. And then the easiest thing, you're like, oh, if I could just give Cleaning Nation one kind of gem or mind blow that I can share. Give them both. The hardest thing that you did and how that worked out, and the kind of easiest or best thing, you're like, oh, if I could give them one thing, it would be this.
Well, from the beginning, you said you need to get rid of your subcontractors. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do that. That's just, I just need to manage them better. I just need to manage them better. And you're like,
I remember that conversation.
get rid of them. I'm like, oh man, you don't understand. I got a full-time job. You don't understand. You don't understand. You know, of course you did. And it was Mariana,
She's the
the
best.
mindset coach, that really pissed me off.
Mariana, I hope to heck you are listening to this.
Oh God. She said something and it just, and it took two different conversations with her. One was, you know, she's saying you need to do this. And I quickly said, oh my gosh, if I interpreted it differently than what she said. I heard her say you need to, so all these accounts you need to put employees in. So all the new accounts that I'm going to get, I'm going to grow my business and, you know, put all the employees into those accounts. And, you know, and I got all excited and our goals that I had talked about that said, okay, this is what I'm going to commit to. I just doubled those. And so, because I said, oh, I don't need to change the core business. I need to grow it and
Right.
change that part of it.
I don't need to do
And so
things
the next,
right. I just need to do things wrong twice as fast.
yeah, pretty much. Well, with the new business, put employees in.
Got
Not the current business, you
Got
know.
it. So I'll do it going forward, but not backwards is too much. I'm not ready for that.
Right. So the next conversation with her, she's like, whoa, what are you doing? She's like, what about our goals that we had? You know, you just need to increase your business just a little bit, but change the how you, she goes, no, you're, oh my gosh, you just doubled and tripled your sales goals. That's like so unreasonable. Keep, you know, just look at this. You have to, if you've just switched over to employees, look at how profitable the business you already have is going to be. And she goes, look at, let's look at those numbers. Okay, from 85% to 50%, and then, you know, that 20%. I'm like, oh my gosh. It just, this total light bulb went off of like, holy crap, she's right. I'm like, if I just switched over what I have, I am so close to where I need to be.
So everyone get that. What I hear Roger saying is we always assume if we're making 50 grand and we want to make 100 grand, we need to sell twice as much, right? Maybe if you've got a healthy business model. If you don't have a healthy business model, you could just fix your business model. You could also go from making 10% profit to 20% profit with the same sales that you have. And it sounds like Roger went, holy crap, I realize how much work it would be to double my sales and versus how much work it would be to double my profit. Am I tracking where, am I picking up what you're laying down?
Oh yeah, totally. Just I wouldn't have to increase my business at all. Just switch over from subcontractors to employees, and there I would, you know, but still that was like, oh my gosh, I was scared to death. I'm like, and that's what it's, I love that you have Mariana in place because there was so much fear going through all of this. It's like, how am I going to do this? This is impossible. This is why I haven't had employees. This is, you know, and on and on and on, and all this fear and how could I possibly manage employees? And how can I, and I've had employees before, and it's been a whole different experience having employees. I've taken a lot of what you said and how to manage those employees. And now that I have, they are working with the customers sometimes more than I am to manage. They're managing their own tenants, their own buildings, you know, and I'm like, wow, I never expected that.
So I'm hearing a lot of Roger saying, I thought I had to do more, but I realized I could do better. So I didn't need to double my revenue. I could just double my efficiency and effectiveness, i.e. profitability. That's fine. I didn't have to have more employees. Maybe I had an experience before and the way I ran the employees was no good. So I didn't have to get more employees, or getting more employees used to be scary because the way I did it wasn't effective. But once I had an effective way to get employees, now employees bring joy and happiness and help as opposed to pain and suffering. Fair, or am I twisting you? All
Yeah, no, that's right.
right, I'm gonna do a quick touch base with all the live folks, and I'm gonna let you answer the big one. So that was that the hard one, the hardest, scariest thing that we asked you to do? Is it
Oh
the
yeah.
okay? Let me touch base with everyone in the chat, and then we'll let you finish the broadcast with the easiest, best. Like if I could give one nugget from your multiple month saga that you could distill down for Cleaning Nation. So Shelly says, hey, Abby says, hey, Edwin says, hey, this is my first time on the live podcast. Welcome, Edwin. Glad to have you live. Appreciate everything for Clean Company. Started 3 months ago, already have 8 employees. Fantastic. Your podcast a lot to do with my success. Really appreciate you. Appreciate you, man. Subscribe, rate, review. Cecilia says, he's my hero. I can't possibly express how much I need to hear all this. Thank you both. And again, that's why I have Roger, right? I feel like I say the same things or similar things over and over, and people don't get it. And then Roger says it, or a guest or someone that's been through it says the same thing, and people are like, got it. Jason says, at least she didn't make you cry. Talking about Mariana. So when you get into the Millionaire Mastermind, here's the big pitch for that. We will make you cry. So there you go. You might go, I don't want that. It's terrible. Betty wants to know where you get the Clean Nation t-shirts. As of now, we only give them to our clients. So, no way to, we don't sell them. Denise says, what's your average pay for your employees? Just curious. I guess you can answer that if you want. Roger, I don't know if that's really the key to anything, but.
It depends. I start them off at minimum 13 and then move them to 15 as quickly as possible. And then for the specialty stuff like floors, or they're doing spraying for the COVID, things like that, then I up it to 20 or more, depending on the specialty.
And again, I want to tell folks, it's not that. It's having,
California.
it's, yeah, A, he's in California. B, it's not how much you pay. It's a better question. We don't have time to get into it. Is what system do you have to decide how much people get paid and when they get more or less? That's the question we want to answer about pay. All right, we got to wrap this thing up. Give us the big one. If you had one thing that you wanted to kind of impart on Cleaning Nation, given the most value and least time, what would that be, sir?
Connection to everybody. This is a community of guys just like me looking to how can I be successful doing this, and Mike's the catalyst to put us all together. And so when I see guys and gals that I want to talk to, I message them on the Facebook, and then we talk live. And one comment that a guy Friday, he's down in Florida, he made to me. I was talking to him, and he says,
That's
"Oh my
by the way,
gosh, you
that's
get."
his name. If you're looking for not, it may have happened on Friday, but that's not what Roger was saying. He talked to Friday. I can't even say his last name. It's like Enswa, or it's a weird name.
Friday.
But Friday's the person, not the date, or maybe it was the date as well, but definitely the person. Continue.
Talked to Friday on Friday,
There you go.
and he just said, "Oh my gosh, hey, I go down to it was like go down to Home Depot. They have these foggers and for whatever." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" I literally ran down to Home Depot. They didn't have them, and so I scoured the internet, found product and foggers and everything I needed to. Right in my area. It's a miracle I found this stuff. And that has been so profitable. And then talking to other guys that are doing the same thing, that it's like, I can't believe this is such a value add to current customers, to new customers going out, and it's profitable. They see a total value in it. And just one little comment like that, from one of the other members, and it's taken me in a whole different direction with how I can help people, how I can grow my business and be profitable. And it's amazing to me how I was just looking to solve this pain over here, and now this it's blooming into my vision of what the business is going to be is growing so much.
I love that. The big key I heard out of that is that one thing, right? So you might have five conversations with a guy like Friday or someone in the community, or 10. And sometimes three or four of them might be life-changing, and sometimes zero to one might be. You never know. But if you don't show up and you're not engaged, you'll never get it. So I love, and again, that's really just goes back to the coachability Roger showed at the beginning of constantly trying to look at how I can improve. And it's funny, guys with Roger's attitude, and a lot of you guys in Cleaning Nation are always finding ways to improve magically. And then guys that don't have that attitude are always complaining that everyone sucks and no one wants to share and everything, and that becomes a reality. All right, we're gonna say goodbye to everybody. By the way, everyone said all this nice stuff. One of my Millionaire Mastermind clients, James, goes, "Mike's all right." So I like this, all the nice comments. James is like, "Yeah, he's fine if you like that sort of thing." Michelle says, "Thank you for being real, Roger. Businesses are often reluctant to talk about their failures and their journeys to success. So I wanted to thank you on Michelle's behalf." So James says to Mike, "Mike's all right." And to Roger, "You're awesome, Roger. Great share." So there you go. That's how that went down. And Mark says, "Really helpful as I struggle with my full-time job and owning a cleaning business." So just want to let you know, Roger. And again, this last thing I'm gonna say, we're gonna get out of here. Roger showing up and being willing to give his time. We don't pay anyone to be on the show.
What?
Yes, sorry.
I
That's the first Roger's heard of this. I'm gonna have to have a conversation with him after. But again, I love that he's like, I got so much value out of the community, and now I'm here to give value. And I love that Mark's like, hey man, that's exactly what I'm going through. That helps. So that's why we're here, guys, gals. That's why we have this community of tens of thousands of owners of cleaning companies. Glad you got value, Mark. For those of you that are getting value, subscribe, rate, review. share, it drives me nuts when people are like, oh, I don't want to share the podcast because I have a business and they'll have a business. And that's insane, right? Like, that would be like Friday going, oh, I don't want to share anything with you, Roger, because you might get something. I know they're in different areas, but even in the same areas, guys, gals, that's crazy. I promise you have this much of the business in your city. Like, make friends with other people and find out how to bring value to your competitors. Don't try and screw them. All right, Cleaning Nation, good day, good talk. You're amazing. Talk soon. See ya. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.